that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact scenario.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning.
Yeah, none of that tape blah. You got the real live blah.
No more tape blah.
Yeah.
You can listen live.
Live. No Memorex.
No Memorex.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody.
Here. Good morning. Good morning.
That's Michael Tech Talk Castle. I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki. Welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you with us.
Feeling bombastic.
Don't.
Wow. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. That's how I like to start the show.
Yeah.
Get a little energy going there.
Yeah.
You know, I need some somewhere. Now, why is this pre not on? I don't know what that does. I don't. We got buttons all over the place. I'm still trying to figure these things out. You know, we got missing.
You know, I've never driven in a car with you, but I have a sense that it might make me uneasy. You know, it's always like, how are we?
Yeah. Well, especially now with the smartphone stuff, you know, and I've got Pandora going, but I don't ever like the song that's on half the time. Or, you know, I need to change it.
I always have that problem. It's tough. I have to kind of totally let go and treat music like wallpaper or fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
And fiddle, you know, like 10 seconds, 20, I'll listen to 20 seconds of 50 songs.
Yes.
And then the half of one, and you know,
yes,
never satisfied with what's on.
Exactly. And my wife is wonderful because she'll drive a lot of the times for me now. You know,
I don't blame her.
Yeah. She'll drive so I can fiddle with the phone next to her.
And, oh, yeah,
you know, I'm in control of the music. That's the thing I want to do. You know, that's what I want to be involved with.
And, yeah, well, cool.
So that works out well. And I'm a big fan of Pandora, and I like Slacker to a slightly lesser degree, but it's not bad. And then I've got my Google Listen podcast.
I've not done Pandora or Slacker yet. I need to, that's embarrassing that I have not done that. But I have so much of my own music.
It's interesting you bring that up. I just had this discussion with someone. I was talking about that there's a difference, I think, in people. I think there's an integral difference in people. There's I got my music people, and then there's the radio people, you know, the curated people. And I fall on the radio side. I have my own music, but honestly, I just don't want to bother going through it and finding those songs. I'd rather just throw on and say, hey, you know what? I like Andrew Bird. I want to listen to some Andrew Bird today and stuff like that. And just have that be somebody else make the decisions for me. Here's some new stuff I've never heard. Here's some good old classic favorites from Mr. Bird and move forward. And then I've got some kind of cool mellow stuff going on in the background. I'd rather do that than try to curate my own music most of the time.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like random.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just totally, completely, you know, and I have such a wide range of stuff that you never know what's going to come up. And, but I also, that being said, I have satellite radio in the car. I have Sirius satellite radio in the car and listen to that when I'm traveling a lot. So that's
very similar to a Pandora sort of experience
and regular,
or a Slacker. Even it's actually closer to Slacker.
Obviously. I think those things are more custom tailored. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's narrow casting on satellite, but it's, you don't have much input, you know, you don't have any input except that you have it on, you know.
Well, and that's somewhat like Slacker. Slacker's a bit like that in that you go in and you choose a Slacker station, they're called. And it's just like a regular radio type station, but it's identified by the type. So I'll listen to indie hits or indie chill
or
alternative 80s.
See, I don't like,
you know,
that.
Like
I want eclectic. I just that's not being offered much.
Yeah.
There's not, if there is eclectic, it's like, it has some sort of deep slant. There's a channel on Sirius FM called Outlaw Country, which is an Austin, Texas type sensibility and approach to country, and that's kind of interesting.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But you know, they'll play like a little bit of heavy metal, a little bit of Bob Dylan. They'll play all kinds of a lot of Willie Nelson. You know, Townes Van Zandt. That kind of, you know, just a wide range.
Yeah. And see, and that's where a Pandora becomes a better option when you want to really mix and match stuff. The cool thing with the Pandora stuff is that you can go in and I can say, okay, I want to listen to Andrew Bird, but you know what? Every once in a while, I like a little Bob Dylan mixed in with that too. And you can add that artist as one of the picks, and it'll start picking interesting music that is like Andrew Bird and is like Bob Dylan, and we'll have some Bob Dylan, and we'll have some Andrew Bird, and then you throw on some Green Day, and before you know it, you're just listening to the whole collection of.
And of course, you have. That you get that on your phone and then plug that into your car stereo, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, if you're doing Spotify, now Spotify doesn't really curate music. Spotify is kind of the mid ground between all of these things in that you can listen and choose from an enormous, enormous collection of music that's available out there on the internet and create your own playlists. And then you create your personal playlist that can, I don't know how many maximum songs you can have, but it's quite a lot. And you can do numerous things with these. You can save them. If you do the paid Spotify thing, you can listen to those mobile. You can also share them with your friends. So if I knew that I generally like the kind of stuff that Dave listens to, I could go find his Spotify playlists and crank into them. And this is actually all going towards a point that I wanted to make with the show here this morning.
Oh, good. I love it. I love it when we have something of a clue.
Believe it or not, there's actually a place we're going to with all this talk about music. So Spotify, though,
generally speaking, we take a long time to get to the punchline, if at all. So
which makes it just that much more tasty, doesn't it? You know?
Well, okay.
Maybe, I don't know.
Let's hope the listeners go for that.
Yeah. We'll see. So there's been a lot of talk this last week or so because Spotify has been in the news because of this whole thing with Facebook. The integrated directly with Facebook. Now, Spotify's only been on the American market, the U.S. market, for the last, it's only like a month or two, a couple of months.
Is that all? I heard the buzz about it when it first came in.
Yeah, probably from me.
No. I think it was.
I was thrilled about it. I was excited that it came out.
Yeah, the first time I was one of those things, you said it on air, I'd never heard it before. And even though often I'll say, Mike, what the hell is that? For that particular time, I was like, oh, gee, maybe I should know what that is.
Maybe we should hear that. So Spotify came out on its own, and it was kind of doing its own thing. And then all of a sudden, there was this big hubbaloo because they had integrated directly in with Facebook. And in fact, when Spotify truly opened its doors, because for quite some time it was available on an invite-only basis, and you could give invites to your friends if you were a Spotify member and blah, 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 they finally opened their doors. But the only way to get Spotify was through Facebook. And Facebook had made a big push now to integrate their social graph with your musical choices. And one of the ways that they're doing that is by everything that you listen to on Spotify automatically shows up in your Facebook timeline.
Isn't it almost anything? Oh, I don't know about that. My understanding was that they were gathering this data on any online music you were listening to.
Well, there is some of that, but a lot of it is you have to opt it in. You know, like your Last.fm, if you're a Last.fm listener, you have to opt it in. Now, Pandora, I think, does link to Facebook also. I haven't verified that, but I read that as well. Spotify, I know. I'm friends on Facebook with Mike Arrington, and that's when I saw it, was all of a sudden everything Michael Arrington was listening to was flooding the Facebook lines. And
so do you think this is cool or not?
Yes and no. I wish there was a little more control, and I think that's what I'm hearing in general from people is that
you can't shut it off. Or?
It's an on or off thing, and it's not immediately apparent how you turn it off either.
Yeah,
particularly with Spotify.
I'm not surprised.
There's a couple of issues here.
There's this treasure trove of demographic and marketing data that they want to have to sell, and they're going to make it hard to shut off.
That's exactly it. And many people, and this happens so frequently with Facebook, because the people felt a little duped by the suddenness that their information was available online. You know, they didn't realize that, you know, the stuff that they were, I think we mentioned, you know, the Divinyls, that they were big fans fans of the Vinyls, and all of a sudden this was being broadcast to all of their friends and yeah. family. And,
yeah.
and
I don't think there's really anything wrong with the Vinyls.
Oh, the Vinyls are fantastic.
They're just a little old. Yeah. No, they've been like, what, 20 years or yeah, so, 25
yeah.
years.
Yeah, well, you know, it makes for some interesting comments and conversation when you're listening to I Touch Myself at whatever time of the evening. At any rate, you can turn it off. You have to go into Spotify and you have to go into the tools section, and they don't even there make it clear. They say, do you want to get recommendations by sharing your music to the open graph? Not necessarily stating, you know, do you want to turn off the fire hose of information that you're flooding your friends with? It just says,
well, so that's more your concern, inconveniencing your friends rather than privacy?
You know, for me personally, yeah. And I know I...
You don't have a lot of concerns about privacy.
I don't.
You want to be, like, transparent. Well, that's... I think that's a bit of an ego on your part. I think you want, look at me. You know, you're fine with that. You're look at I've got hair here on my arm. You know. Anything, any little detail you kind of don't mind sharing.
I'm not sneaky. I'm not trying to hide.
No. There's a difference between sneaky and, hey, here I am. Look at this.
Maybe a little on the drama side.
No, that's good. I wish my ego was that healthy. Or that.
I'm still not liking where this is going.
Or in need of that much nurturing, you know, or whatever.
Yes. I think that's probably the more appropriate side of things.
Anyways.
I don't mind generally. But I do find it, I think that it could be irritating to people that suddenly to see every blast, especially like this morning, for example, is a great thing. As I mentioned earlier, I don't listen to necessarily full songs and go for the full 5 minutes, particularly if I'm prepping for the show and want to pick out what I'm going to listen to for the podcast or the intro and things like that. I'll go through 30 or 40 songs in less than a couple of minutes, and people are bombarded with that if I leave my Spotify sharing on. So that's not necessarily a good thing.
So it's gone awry. Speaking of that kind of thing about maybe not wanting to share or how much information is getting out there and how to control it, what's the name of the new Kindle device? I forget.
The Fire.
The Fire. That's a really really nice name, by the way.
Yes.
Nice marketing on Amazon's part. But their browser is the name of which I can't remember, is an unusual design.
Silk Cloud.
Silk, right.
Yeah.
And the good news about that is that the heavy lifting, it is on the cloud, so the heavy processing is being done off the device.
Yes.
And that makes it nice and fast, nice and quick. Things load, you know, much faster. And also, it's intelligent. You know, Amazon uses its fancy, you know, mind-reading software to know...
Predictive browsing.
Yeah,
it's predictive browsing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm being a little facetious.
Yes.
So that's the good news. The bad news, though, is they know everything.
Yeah, people are freaking out about this.
They know every... I mean, you could shut it... You can supposedly shut it down so that the computer does all the work. You don't have to browse on the cloud. But.
Yes, yeah, and you're hearing a lot of people recommending that you do, that you go into the Silk Cloud browser settings and that you turn off the predictive browsing features, and I don't know what they're called within the tool. I haven't had my hands on one yet.
Yeah. In order, you want to, though, don't you?
Oh, gosh, do I? Oh, yeah, that one hit the Christmas
list. We should work at that. I mean, if we work just a little bit at that, people would send us stuff to review.
You'd think.
No, but they're not going to do it automatically.
No,
we kind of have to
ask. Yeah,
we
have to start begging, you know?
No, you don't have to beg.
I hate that.
Just let them know that, you know, you're on the air and...
And excited about doing Well, the thing with the stuff that I really want, though, they don't care. There's people writing about them anyways, you know?
Yeah.
They don't need to curry my favor. But no, the people are freaking out about this. A lot of people are telling you, shut it off right away because Amazon's going to keep track of everything you do and everywhere you go. And, you know, they're going to keep your IP and your Mac associated with. Well, number one, again, this comes back to the security thing is, why do I care if they know that I'm reading, you know, on Facebook too much?
You know, I mean, I don't. Your identity is going to get stolen one day. I just know it.
I don't remember
that guy. What was that guy? The guy that used to put
LifeLock.
LifeLock used to put his social security number on. You know, to talk about exposure
or
transparency. Yeah, he had his identity stolen like 11 times.
Yeah. Well, let's be clear. I'm not putting my ATM card pin up on Facebook. You know, I'm not.
No, but if you browse on the cloud on your Kindle Fire, they're going to have that. They're gonna have that information.
Yeah, there is.
And
do you trust?
And look at all the data breaches that have been out there. There is that risk.
You're absolutely right, and I think that is a concern. However, people have to keep in mind this is nothing new. This is just router caching. That's all it is. Your workplace probably does this already. Everywhere you go at work,
not to this extent.
If you use a DNS redirect or open DNS and some of the others, they're already doing some of this. I think that the big difference that's happening with the Amazon cloud piece of it is it's a bit more personalized. It's a bit more unique. They are trying to predict based upon individual users' activities as opposed to just the general activity ratio that people are doing. And the example they use was like the New York Times. You know, you go to the New York Times website, and immediately Amazon will start loading down the most popular articles and links that are available on New York Times and pre-caching them for you so that when you do go then to, say, grab that really cool article about what Obama's been doing in healthcare, you know, whatever it may be, it'll have it all ready for you, downloaded and ready to go, and will have converted a much of the images to be smaller so that you don't have to try and download a 3-meg picture. You can download a 50K picture, which is going to look exactly the same on your 7-inch screen because you don't need a 3-meg image for that. So it's predictive and it's intelligent, and it really is trying to speed things up for you as a user, but there are some security issues with it. I think you're right. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with
you. Well, and so speaking of paranoia, I sent you a thing about this, an article about this device that police departments are using.
Yes!
That extracts data from your cell phone.
That is cool.
And it didn't make, and I don't have the name of the device in front of me or anything like that, but apparently on traffic stops, some departments have gotten sued, I guess, because they were a little too, intrusive, or they were extracting this data unnecessarily.
Yes.
And it didn't say in the article, but it sounded like you had to plug the phone in to get the data.
Yes.
But it's only a matter of time before they don't even need to do that. But it can get all kinds of stuff. It can get your contacts, your GPS information, where you've been, just anything you can imagine, any information that your cell phone collects.
Yeah. Well, it's in the name of it is the Cellebrite cell phone extraction device, UFED.
Yeah.
And you do have to plug it in. You can plug it in. Now, they say the iPhone, but really you can actually plug this into numerous different types of phones, and it'll grab a bunch of information off of that. Now, the article, I love the
iPhone's probably the most data rich from what we've read in terms of what they're collecting.
Yes, and they store a lot of that data too, as we found out, and people were upset about that
exactly.
It stored your GPS
location. Yeah, so, and I remember you not caring about that either. And your reaction to this thing was, oh, I want one.
this is cool.
And what would you do with it?
Find out what's stored on my phone.
On your phone. You want this? Well, this sucker is probably not that cheap.
No, unfortunately, I don't want to own one. I just want to play with one. I want to go to.
Let's go knock next door at the police station.
A couple of my cop buddies' house, and while we're playing some cards, say, let's find out where you've been in the last month. You know, that would be cool. I'm actually going to be playing poker tonight at a cop buddy friends of mine.
Yeah.
But this is the thing with it is I do worry about stuff like this.
The one thing about this though is this is going to be the only way that information like this is going to be the only way that an LA jury is going to convict anybody.
Well, and that's just the point of this. I don't see. I just don't find it likely that at least not typically, that police officers are pulling people over and saying, hey, give me your phone. You know, I need your license, registration, and your phone.
Well, they're not going to need the phone. What's First of all, how long do we even know this data was on our phones?
Yeah.
Has it been 3 months?
Yeah, well, it's been a while. Yeah, yeah,
but, no, yeah, I don't think so. It hasn't been. Okay, let's call it 6 months.
Okay, right.
Let's call it 6 months. Now, here's like, you know, you got the case. You open, snap open the case. Oh, yeah. Look at this. We can get all this info.
Yeah, yeah.
And cops are geeks, too, some of them. You know, it's like, oh, boy.
But how is that, how legally and legalistically, how is that different from when a police officer pulls you over? They don't have the right to search your trunk without probable cause. They don't have the right in your glove box and stand you up and search you and all that without probable cause. I think the same thing should be true or is true. I've got to believe with your cell phone and other private property that you have with you. The police officer can't pull you over and say, okay, give me your laptop. I'm going to take this to my forensic specialist who happens to be riding around with me in the car, and we're going to we'll return this to you in the next 15 minutes, but while we do that, you're going to have to wait. That's not happening today, so I don't see this being tangibly different from that.
Phones have a lower expectation of privacy than a landline or even your laptop.
In the eyes of the law.
In the eyes of the law, there's a lower expectation of privacy. But that doesn't mean they can take it. They can physically take it. And however, if you're already under arrest, then they don't, you know, I don't know if there are warrants. Yes. The articles I've read about this have not discussed the warrant issue.
Yeah. If you're already under arrest, if you're in a warrant situation and so on, then I think, and in that situation, I think this is a fantastic tool. I mean, you imagine the cases of lost or kidnapped children. You think about the situations where there's not a lot of time to figure out where people have been or things have happened that are of criminal nature, and all of a sudden the police have at their disposal this tool where they don't have to call Apple in Cupertino and say, gosh, or AT&T and say, gosh, could you know, this is the police officer, could you please look into your records, and you know, 12 to 24 hours later. No, they can get the information right now, right here, as they need it, when they need it, and do a discovery process within minutes or hours as opposed to days.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. But as any tool can be used for good, it could be used for not so good.
Yes.
And as I said, it's another 6 months, a year at tops. They're not going to need to plug the phone in to the device. They can, you know, cops are going to be, you know, just driving around dialing up people's cell phones.
Oh, well, let me tell you something that is getting close to that, too, that's a little scary about that, is, in fact, in this area, in Lake County, they're talking about putting in place some units which will use the Bluetooth in your cell phone to identify the cell phones as they drive by and then be able to recognize them as they go further along the route or as they come back into the area, in order for the police to be able to... Now, they claim this isn't going to be used to, you know, prosecute you for speeding or anything like this, but it will be used in order to determine traffic flow in the area so they can make better traffic decisions, you know, decisions about the...
Bluetooth doesn't have that long, that big a range, actually.
I mean, no. So I'm not sure. I guess that it'd probably be have to be built into the pavement or right alongside the street. I mean, it doesn't have a big range.
Is Jay Garman going to be with
Jay
us?
Jay Garman is not going to be with us today, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's too bad.
He's traveling.
Hear that noise? Hear that noise?
Yeah.
All the radio's clicking on.
Yes, exactly. Hey, how our numbers on Justin TV just went down to
No wonder you didn't preview the show at the outset. I was wondering what was going on.
I just jumped us right in because
figure at least we get 20 minutes out of them.
Exactly. So everyone that was waiting for Jay, feel free to hop right off. You know what we do have coming up though. We've hit a lot of the stories that I had tagged up. I've got a couple more though. Some of them
Leonard Nimoy.
I haven't heard about Leonard. Well, he's coming tomorrow, to Chicago.
Yeah, he's at a Star Trek convention tomorrow in Rosemont, Illinois, and it's going to be his last one.
Oh, yeah, you know.
He's not going to do Star Trek conventions anymore.
This is what he claims. Now, he's claimed that.
He's not doing a share.
He's claimed that before.
Yeah.
He claimed that he was out of acting entirely, and then all of a sudden he was in the actual Star Trek movie, and then he got the bit on Fringe, and I take it with a bit of a grain of salt. Now, I did send emails to the organizers of the convention this year, because I was hoping that I could get a media frenzy pass into this and get a chance to hook up with Leonard. But sadly...
Boy, are you a dreamer.
Sadly, it did not...
That's too bad.
It did not pan
but is
out.
There is there any more iconic figure in science fiction, though, than Mr. Spock?
I mean,
It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine this cheesy, and it was a cheesy show. Even then it was cheesy.
Yes.
3 years on the air and has endured all this time. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It really struck a chord with people. And I think, you know, part of that chord that it struck is that you did have these somewhat... you look at the character plays of the Renaissance and of that period of time of literature, and they're so well reflected in the way that the characters in Star Trek are identified. You know, they're very extreme characters, and I think that really appeals to people as you have these, and that's why plot devices like all of a sudden they have the anti-Kirk and the anti-Spock can work so well is because you have these extremely distinct personality types, and they're all part of us. You know, we can identify with each of those character types at such a basic level in our personalities. You know, everybody's got a bit of Spock in them. Everybody's got a bit of the lecherous Kirk. Everybody's got a bit of the
Kirk wasn't lecherous. He was just he had to beat him off with a stick. You know, I mean, he was. He was that macho guy in a skin tight uniform.
Yeah. Well, maybe everybody doesn't have a little bit of him in them, but they have this, you know, there's a Kirk love.
But I think one of the best segues between the original Star Trek and Star Trek Next Generation was that here Spock was this man desperately half Vulcan, half human, desperately denying his humanity. Desperately, you know, just fighting. It took everything he could to fight off that humanity and didn't succeed many times. And then you've got Data, who wants nothing more to be human. I thought that was a great flip on that concept or that idea.
That's a really good point. I hadn't connected that. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So if it truly is his last time around, I think that's really too bad.
And who cares if it's his last time around? Yeah, that is. You know, okay, go in peace. We're so lucky to have you.
Yes.
Perfect guy for the role. And if he comes back, that's even better.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, anyways, speaking of coming back, what we'll do is we're going to come back in just a minute. I've got some spots to run. I'm going to play you a little bit here about donating to WRLR because we are a community radio station. All this that you hear right now is made possible by listeners like yourself who are showing a little love to WRLR.
So yeah, by the way, happy birthday to Fran Krifko, a great supporter of the station.
Oh,
it was her birthday yesterday.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I think she's 34, 35 now.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. I know. I think it wasn't that long ago that she was celebrating the ability to drink at the local tavern.
Yeah, yeah.
At least I saw her there.
Yeah, at breakfast.
No, Fran, happy birthday to you. Make Fish do something nice this year. At that, we'll leave it. We'll be back in less than 5 minutes, probably more like three. You're listening to Tech Talk on WRLR. Thank you, and we appreciate you coming back.
See you in a bit.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
As you may know, WRLR is a nonprofit, all-volunteer station. All of us here give our time, resources, and energy to provide the community, and the world for that matter, with unparalleled entertainment and information. Our motto, radioactive means involvement. Our involvement alone isn't enough. There are operating costs that go well beyond our immediate resources. We need you. Community involvement is everyone's involvement. Please go to our webpage, wrlr.fm, and click on donate. The rest is easy. The amount is up to you. Our budget is like yours. Every contribution is an important part of keeping us all radioactive.
I'm Anthony Lucero, inviting you to join me this weekend from the vault. Each week, we play the music of a different theme. And this week, we'll be playing...
Born to be wild.
I'm a believer.
Love me do.
The Vault Salutes Musical Groups. Join me Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5, right here on 98.3 FM, WRLR.
Snap Fitness Clubs of Round Lake are committed to providing a positive, clean, and safe environment for their health fitness members. Both Round Lake facilities offer 24-hour access 7 days per week. The phone number is 847-740-SNAP. The website is Round Lake Ill at snapfitness.com. Snap Fitness offers two Round Lake locations, one on Route 120 just east of Cedar Lake Road, and the second at Wilson Road by the Valley Lakes Water Tower.
Sunday night, radio night, music night. Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Dial in 98.3 WRLR for Radio Relics, the radio program that embraces the cultural icons of past, present, and future. Hear bluegrass, newgrass, folk, funk, reggae, jam bands, peanut stands, blues, and boundless sounds from the ends of the universe, Sunday nights, 7 to 9 p.m., with me, Ben Richards, your host for this musical journey, Radio Relics on 98.3 WRLR.
I like that one.
I do. Yeah. That's Cage the Elephant.
Cage the Elephant, yeah. One of the best intros of the last couple of years, I think.
Yep, absolutely.
Of course, it's more than a couple of years, probably, if I know my memory. You know, that song's 20 years old.
Is it?
No, it's
Cage
not.
Cage the Elephant's
no.
Recent.
But it's not 2 years,
they're
I don't
hipster.
Think. Yeah. No. See, that's how old you're getting. this song's, I bet you it's more than 2 years old.
You think so? You could be right. I could look it up right now. I have that capability, but I'm not going to. Maybe somebody online will do that for us.
Maybe Customer Jones, since we don't have a trivia
that
question. She needs something to do.
could be.
Don't mend anything by it, Suzanne.
No, not at all. So we were talking off air. We were having a much more interesting off air than we typically do on air.
We sounded really good.
I actually sounded like I knew what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
We brought up and mentioned, you may or may not have heard about this, we were talking about privacy. OnStar just... recently was kind of pegged because...
And OnStar is a service you get with GM cars that it's voice, GPS. It's basically like an emergency service. You know, if you break down or if you get in an accident, they automatically call our OnStar and such.
Yeah,
and it comes with a 90-day or a year free subscription when you buy your car.
That's right. And you've seen the commercials probably where there's the out of focus picture and then it clears and you see the cracks in the windshield and the person's going oh, and you hear, how may we help you? We detect a crash in your car. So they know all sorts of things, and then the police show up, and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
But
they've been collecting data.
Of course they have.
Even after you quit.
But that's the problem. Yes,
yeah.
After you quit. After you unsubscribe.
And why would they be doing that?
Everybody wants data. Of course they want data.
But why do they want the data?
Well, now...
I know you love data.
What they claim...
You just want data for data, because you love data.
I think that you don't even realize the value of data usually until years afterwards. It becomes apparent to you how the data can be used in different circumstances. And I think that's why OnStar was doing it, but why they claimed they did it now.
I want to hear this story because I think it's just greed. It's just marketing. It's just data gathering. you know, demographic marketing greed. They just want those dollars from that information they're able to sell.
Well, sure, sure, because they can use that down the road. Now, what they say, though, is that they had wanted to make it easier for these unsubscribers to rejoin the OnStar family when they wanted to. And they said that, you know, the significant portion of their clientele quits after a certain period of time, but then they want to come back on later.
Whoa! I'm sure that's what it was.
There was an IT guy
absolutely
with a big heart.
Yeah.
Oh,
you guys, you geeks are known for that. Just that soft and tender hearts.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were collecting a lot of data, even after they had. And there was a lot of backlash about this. And so OnStar now has said, okay, we won't do it. We're not going to collect your data after you leave. We won't keep track of – we were talking about this earlier. We won't keep track of your GPS.
And how was this discovered? How was this disclosed?
I believe that they disclosed it. I mean, they didn't make a big deal about it, but they had it in their terms of service. It said we're going to
keep – Yeah, we all read those, don't we?
Well, somebody does. Thank you. Goodness, somebody does. People in Illinois do this as well. Shouts out to Perrin Akins Davis of Illinois. Now, I don't know where in Illinois, but he's filed a class action suit actually against Facebook for very similar reasons as to the OnStar thing. He filed a class action lawsuit. It's of undefined.
So he quit. He quit Facebook. Is that what happened?
No. It's not so much about quitting Facebook. It's about the fact.
Can you quit Facebook? Do you get beat up if you quit?
You can try.
Is there a way to quit Facebook? Has anybody done it? Email us at techtalk@wrlr.fm.
There are actually online instructions for how to cancel and completely close out your Facebook account and delete it and so on. Yeah. I don't know where those are exactly. I don't know.
It's kind of like getting Norton off your computer in the old days.
Exactly. You wind up having to reboot 15 times.
Oh,
and it
man.
Still doesn't work.
Oh,
and
man.
Then you got to ask them to send you a special CD.
Years ago, somebody asked me to do that. Could you just get this Norton? Oh, sure, no problem. Holy crap.
It just goes on and on. Well, Facebook isn't quite like that. What Facebook is doing, though, is it turns out that they've been putting cookies on your machine. Not the nice chocolate chip and
are those forever cookies or Omni cookies or whatever they're called?
Yeah, they had these forever cookies that went on there, and not only that, but these cookies were specifically identifying not only you but were keeping track of where you were going on the web after you left Facebook, even if you signed out and exited Facebook and were not using Facebook to link to other sites. They were just sitting on there and reporting this information back to our good friend Mark Zuckerberg and his
Omar buddy, our friend, our big friend,
yes,
the biggest friend of all.
Oh yes,
gives a new meaning to the phrase Cookie Monster, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. he is the ultimate Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
And so this is being fought now in court to say that that's not appropriate. It seeks unspecified damages, and it's asking the court to block the tracking based upon...
And that's an individual suit or class action?
This right now is a class action suit.
Oh, it would have to be. In order to get the attorneys that don't get squashed like a bug in this, it would have to be class action.
It's an individual suit that's seeking class action status. I should describe that.
Well, we'll see about that. We'll see about that.
Well, it's all part of, really, it's done for your own good again. I mean, this is all part of Facebook.
Oh, it's altruistic on Facebook's part.
It's all
part. Aren't they nice?
It's all part of their frictionless sharing initiative.
I like that. That's very seductive, isn't it?
Yeah, frictionless sharing. So these cookies,
I like a little friction with my sharing.
It's like the KY of social networking is what Facebook is for
some of that Kentucky jelly. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Is that where KY comes from?
That's the abbreviation for Kentucky.
Yeah, well, it is, but I don't think that's...
I think so, yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm willing to buy it unless somebody knows. I won't be skeptical on that one.
There's a joke I could do, but we wouldn't be back next week.
So be careful with Facebook even after you log out. Just be aware that... Now, what I do, and I know you think that I'm this complete, open book and all that.
Yeah.
But I honestly...
You're the equivalent of, like, a guy that goes to, like, a tech nudist camp or something.
Yes. But I'm not. What I do is I segregate my browsing activities a lot of times. My work browsing I do typically and mostly through Internet Explorer, my social networking type of things, and news aggregation like RSS feeds and so on I do through Firefox. Anything that I do that's outside of that realm of...
Cookies are browser specific? I don't think so.
They a lot of times are, I believe. I think we might have just opened up a
bag of Oreos.
I may have to look into that.
I bet not.
I'll have to look into that.
I bet they can. Well, maybe that has changed, because in the old days, remember, you'd install a different browser and they'd automatically go get your favorites off your...
Can tell it to do that.
Right, but in the old days, it would do it automatically.
Yeah.
So maybe there has been a bit of a wall put up.
I've been under the impression there's a separation. And if I'm wrong about that, if someone can disabuse me of that notion, I'd appreciate it.
I'd actually bet maybe there's supposed to be a separation, but I bet that.
Maybe not as much as I believe.
Yeah. Could be.
Yeah. So I use Google Chrome or Safari for all, my alternative browsing needs. For example, my son has his own places that he goes to, and I don't want him messing around with my setup, So I install Safari, and I'm like, dude, you're using Safari. And he hates Safari. He doesn't like it. I'm like, well, if you're going to use my computer, you're using Safari.
What's wrong with Firefox? I mean, of course, that's...
Because that's mine.
You use Firefox,
yeah.
Chrome, NIE?
NIE.
And all you leave them is Safari. Yeah.
I'll let him use Chrome. I'll let him use Chrome, too.
I haven't played with Safari in a while, but...
It's not too bad. It's not as good as Chrome. I like Chrome better, and I like Firefox.
Why don't you try Opera? I haven't played with Opera in a long time.
I was big into Opera for a very short period of time.
When they first came out, they were...
More recently, Opera 10 came out a little bit ago and was a pretty decent little browser.
And when they do that similar thing to the Kindle... Silk is the name of their...
Yes.
Is the name of their browser. They do offload some of it to the cloud, some of the processing...
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Workload, the heavy lifting.
Yep. It's been around for a long time. People are freaking out about it, but it's really nothing.
I don't understand why. Listen to all the things we've talked about in this program. I can't understand why people would be freaking out. How many data breach shows have we had? Those are just the ones we know about.
This is true. I did attend an FBI class on computer forensics. Oh, and I should mention too. I'm going to plug something for myself here. All right. since we're speaking about security, I'm actually giving a presentation on internet safety, on how to keep your children.
Yeah, you're the guy.
Yes,
you're just really put it all out there. No, it's okay. Who cares?
Now you're really going to want to see this.
But put your name, address, phone number, date of birth. Put it all on the internet.
It's going to be at the end of October. It's going to be in Vernon Hills.
Social Security number.
At the community center. Vernon Hills Community Center on Sunday, October 30th at 1 o'clock, I think.
Very cool.
So I'm going to give about an hour presentation, just talking.
I'm going to heckle you.
I know. Maybe I shouldn't mention this on air.
Yeah, I'm coming.
People that are going to come.
I'm coming.
You don't know. I just gave you the wrong date.
This guy's the equivalent of a flasher on the internet for his identity, not for the other stuff.
Well, things that I'm going to talk about, though, are going to be the very same things we've talked about with Perry Aftab and some of the other guests on the show, is that really it's not about locking your computer down and locking your kids down and shutting them in a room and barring the door. It's about making sure that they feel that they can discuss it with you and being aware of what's happening enough that you can start those conversations.
Yeah, good communication and safe, surfing tactics and procedures and policies. You know, I'm sure it'll be a great presentation. Yep. I make fun. I give you a hard time.
I kid, mostly
because it's entertaining to me, but.
Yeah, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's sure. That's yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fine. So that'll be fun. I'll share more information next week as well. There's some web links where you can go and sign up and register if you'd like to. It is a community thing and it's free and it's open to anybody that wants to show up. So,
great.
So it'll be should be some cool stuff.
It'll probably be an overflow crowd.
I was honored to be asked to do it. I think it'll be fun. It'll be fun to do. We're getting close, I guess, on time. We could even start talking.
By the way, Cage the Elephant was 2009. April 21st, 2009.
You were right on the borderline of brilliant knowledge of timing there.
No.
Right? You said 2 years. Yeah. You nailed it.
Yeah, okay. But I also said, 2 years, I said 5 years, I said 20 years.
You gave yourself a bit of a range.
You hit with
the regression to the mean, I think, you know, one way or the other, you were going to.
Regression to the mean?
Yeah, well, I'm taking quantitative analysis now.
I thought you mean you went back to being mean?
Yeah, exactly. They've regressed to being mean again.
Oh boy, sit back, relax. Listen to the cool sights of the week.
Yeah, and I think
you always have such good ones. It's amazing to me.
I think I've still got some here that are going to come out. Speaking of regression,
you've been
to the
batting 1,000.
Speaking of regression to the mean, speaking of statistics and all sorts of good stuff like that, I love little tools like this. They make you look so smart. This one is the Desmos Graphing Calculator, and if you go to Desmos Desmos.com/calculator. It's so cool. I love stuff like this. If you're doing anything with statistics or with mathematics or algebra, whatever it may be, sine and cosine stuff, just throw the formula in and it'll help you create the formulas for you, and boom, it'll graph it, and it's a neat, nice looking graph. It's very fast, and again it'll just help make you look smart. You know, you can be talking to people, and if you're talking about the statistics of something, I just throw it in this, and wham, out comes a graph, and you say, this is what our profits have looked like over the last year from what you've just described to me, Ben, and then there you go, and there it is.
And so you could, like, send them the link, or?
You can send the link, or really more for just usage, but you can save the image.
You can save the image and embed it in an email and send it out?
Yes.
Pretty cool.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
So I think it's pretty cool.
No wonder people think you're smart.
I've got all sorts of crutches that help.
That's a pretty cool feature.
It is neat stuff, and it's free, and I like it. Desmos.com calculator, just cool stuff. There's also, another couple of things here I'm going to bring up. I'm just going to hit like two or three things as I've got time to do it. Here's a fun one. Now, talking about drawing graphs and all that stuff, maybe your drawing capabilities are about as good as mine.
Mm.
You know, I can do stick.
Which are marginal.
Stickmen. Yes.
Stickmen.
I'm good at stickmen. Well, you can go to www.drawastickman.com and play a whole game based around the stickman that you draw. It starts off where you draw yourself a man made out of sticks, and then he goes and has to open a box, so you need to draw a key for him that'll fit in the hole for the box.
Uh-huh.
And then you get that, and oh my gosh, a dragon jumps out. You better draw him a sword. And
spoiler, geez.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you the first couple of sequences.
You gotta draw a sword,
yeah.
Otherwise the dragon will eat you. Yeah.
And it's kind of a clever, fun.
You couldn't draw like a lady dragon, you know, to distract the dragon.
I don't think it's that advanced.
Or dragon cocktail.
Something
that the dragon likes to.
Oh, so that's kind of a fun one for the kids. So if you're looking for something to
do, sounds pretty cool.
I think it is.
What was the name of that again? Or the
drawastickman.com. That's it. Yeah, so pretty easy to remember too.
Yeah.
And then I've got two cool sites I'm going to leave or finish with here that have to do with traveling again. I'm going to be doing a lot of traveling. I've got some trips planned here in the near future. And one of the things that's always important, of course, is to find the cheaper flights that you can.
Oh, sure.
Find the best times and all this.
Yeah.
And there's two new things that are very cool. Now,
plenty of sites out there for that. But
yeah, but these, I like these. These are pretty cool. Google has its own flight search that you can use, google.com/flights, which also has a mobile
app
that you can use for it.
Cool.
And it's good. It's not bad. It does really focus on the price. The other one, though, that I'm liking even more and has just released their Android app, so I've just started playing with it this last week, is Hipmunk. Like Chipmunk, but without the C.
See, cool, yeah.
Hipmunk.com. Go check this out if you do a lot of traveling. Very cool stuff. It's got an Android app. You can throw in there the city, the date, times that you're interested in, all that good stuff like you'd expect, and it pops back out a chart color-coded by the airline, sorted by price, but will show you things such as aggravation, will show you things like whether the plane has Wi-Fi on it or not.
Wow.
And then you go through and you can search. Of course, you know, you can make your flight arrangements through Hipmunk if you so choose, or you can go to the websites themselves and do it on your own. But it gives you a really, really neat and easy to use breakout of those flights and allows you to sort them based upon your interest and what you're trying to accomplish out of it.
Very cool.
So hipmunk.com is what I would recommend.
Sounds like another evolutionary step in getting information.
You throw that in.
Makes life easier for us.
Yeah. Absolutely. And they're probably storing everything and
more enjoyable.
And then they're going to share that with someone that you don't want. And you guys are going to come back and yell at me.
Well, what do we complain? You know, well, look what's happening now. I don't know about you, but, you know, people have to get money somehow. I mean, we use all these sites for free. That's all you want to hear about is, you know, if you don't want to pay a dime for software.
Exactly.
You know,
of course not.
Right. So our websites, we go to all these websites. And so naturally, you know, advertising or market research, you know, plays a role in monetizing those spots. And look, you know, how much longer is, you know, cable or over-the-air TV going to look the way it does? We all have, you know, DVRs, and we're fast-forwarding through the commercials. So we have to kind of – they have to adapt. To get money to pay their employees and for their equipment and the buildings they reside in and such.
And data is one piece of that, and data about you. And I think that when done properly, you know, having that data can be a beneficial thing for everyone, because the companies then can, you know,
better address. That's what market research is really all about, asking the customer what they want.
Yes.
And then coming up with products to fill those needs or desires.
That's right.
So
at its purest form, I mean, you know, the database marketing industry, and I worked in the database marketing industry for a while, quite some time ago when it was in its infancy. And one of the things that we really had as the feather in our cap was that if you as a consumer were calling in, and this was to a phone company, you were calling into the phone company because you had an issue with your line. In the past, you would be asked a series of questions by that phone company. Hey, do you want third-party calling? Do you want DID? You know, all this business that made no rhyme or reason to who you were as a consumer. But with database marketing, they were able to say, look, we know that Dave Sparky Saganaki has been using this these types of calls over the last several months. He makes a lot of international calls. I bet he'd be interested in an international calling plan. So when he calls us up because of some other issue, now on my screen pops up, ask Dave about an international calling plan. Mm-hmm. That was the root and cause and direction of this marketing from the beginning. It's been diluted and polluted, and there are nefarious reasons and ways and means it can be used. But at its core, I still have that in my heart, that's the goal of it.
Yeah, aren't you... Well, first of all, I'm glad we mentioned this because it provides some balance on the other side of the question. I mean, earlier in the program, I was, you know, raving a bit about how this is maybe too intrusive and dangerous. But you're right. This is another, you know, the other side of the question. And I can see both sides of the question. I mean, all my life I've hated advertising. You know, it's been too much, you know, billboards where they shouldn't be and all this other stuff. But, boy, lately, the last few years with this really big downturn in advertising, it's really had a terrible effect on lots of businesses and people's jobs and such.
So, yeah, that's exactly
so
right.
So I'm not sure, you know, how I feel about it at this point. Advertising, you know, it's a good thing. It's all about persuasion. You and I have talked about this before. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with persuasion. It's we wouldn't move forward without it.
Yes. Yeah. But and we do have some legislation to protect us, and we could talk about that for even longer. But there was some stuff happening in Michigan and things recently that would be apropos. But instead, I'm going to leave us with a little podcast only song of the week. I think what we're going to do here is how about if I play you a little "Hang Me Up to Dry" by the Cold War Kids. And
that's a nice wish. it's a nice wish for the listeners for parting.
Yeah,
sure.
I think that'll fit out very nicely to finish off the set here. I want to thank everybody for listening to our security talk today. Security and
our insecurity talk.
I hope we haven't scared anyone off from using the computer, especially if you're trying to get to techtalk.wrlr.fm. If you are worried about it, though, you can always go old school and leave a phone message, 847-984-0847, or techtalk.
I'll take your word for it.
WRLR.fm.
Yeah.
All those.
And this is WRLR in Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
Absolutely. And we'll even you with "Hang Me Up to Dry" by the Cold War Kids. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks so much for listening.
Too many times.